Mentally morbid.
This podcast represents the opinions of the speakers and guests to the show. By listening to this podcast or reading any content posted or shared by the Mentally Morbid creators, you agree not to use this podcast or blog as psychological advice. The content should not be used in lieu of medical or psychological advice or any legal capacity whatsoever, including but not limited to establishing standard of care. The content here is for entertainment and educational purposes only. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast or blog. Please consult healthcare professionals for any medical or psychological care.
I don't even want to introduce us anymore, apparently.
Welcome back, Mentally Morbid listeners. It's episode 24. It's Saturday morning. We've had nothing but problems, and Kayla pretended she didn't have internet. I'm Annie.
I'm Angie. You guys know what's funnier than 24?
25. I'm Kayla.
Oh, what? My God.
So first, Kayla tried to play an April Fool's joke that got her fired from the podcast.
And then second,
deleted. We are open to applications.
You must be a bitch and not like us very much. And probably
18 years or older.
18 years or older. If you have a potty mouth, that would be good.
If you are perfect, then you could possibly replace me. Hamstever, I believe that there is no one.
I'm going to rephrase that. If you believe that you are perfect for us.
Oh, no, Annie. Rattle.
No.
It's happening.
No.
It's not happening now. It just happens every once in a while. Did you bump the desk?
Don't move.
For a whole hour.
Oh, that's her worst nightmare.
I won't touch.
Oh no! Mind sleep.
So, listen, I got to part two on Love is Blind. The drama is not as strong, but it's good. It's getting better. It's getting there. They're really happy right now.
Oh, I hate when they're happy.
I know. They're all so happy and trying so hard.
We can't talk about Love is Blind yet.
No.
Kinsey. Did you finish part one, though?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I stay up late to finish. I watched part two today. I excited.
Hey, Kayla, you went to California recently.
I did. I went and visited Juan Carlos in San Francisco.
And you saw sea lions.
I did see sea lions. So when I was growing up, my family dog was a very obese wiener dog. And these sea lions really reminded me of them.
Kinsey, can you imagine Kayla with a dog?
No.
Right. I thought she probably kicked him a lot.
No, his name was Chewy, and he was so sweet and cuddly, and there's never going to be a dog like him, so now I switched to cats. And when all my cats are gone, I'm switching to birds. And when all my birds are gone, I'm switching to fish.
We're like going down the interesting animal.
Yeah.
Like you're going downhill.
Right. Maybe I'll go from birds to like a turtle. I'll get a turtle and then maybe birds.
Right. You're going to get a fish that you can't touch.
You can go like this.
Yeah. And then they go like this.
I don't see the issue.
I want all of those at once.
Listen,
but the problem
I do.
Is, yes.
I do follow lots of birds on TikTok because birds are.
People with birds.
No, the birds. They have their own TikToks. And
right.
When I follow them, it makes me so happy because there's this one bird and he just every time he's on his he just what
so
doing?
So Kinsey, what have
he
you always, been up to lately?
Hey, he always asks, "What doing?" And I'm like, you know.
I know what you're talking about.
I know. What doing? I want someone to ask me what
parrot.
Doing.
Oh. Kinsey asks you all the time.
Yeah.
No, Kinsey asks herself.
And she sounds like a parrot.
What do?
She sounds like a seagull.
So what else
Shit.
Did you do?
Go ahead.
I forgot my book. Next episode.
Disappointment. it would be the perfect time because nobody's at my house to listen to me make all the animal noises.
Sorry.
Listeners, we have a special treat in store for you. Kayla has a children's book that has all kind of eclectic animal sounds, and we are going to learn how to imitate the animal sounds, because honestly, is there like a, there's like a word for that, right? Like people who can imitate animal sounds and don't shoot them, because that's a hunter.
They're just, yeah, just bird, just people.
People?
They're just people that can make
animals. Well, I bet there's a name for it. There's got to be a name for that, like, skill. That's a Googleable thing. I'm going to Google that.
Mime. Huh? Clown.
Did you say a linguist?
I said ventriloquist.
Okay, but linguist would be closer than mime, because mimes are the opposite.
I pretend to be the animal. I'm in the box.
Okay. Using words that suggest the sound that it describes, that's just called onomatopoeia. So maybe it's an onomatopoeist?
I don't like that at all. That sounds like we can get canceled. I'd rather not get canceled on this fine Saturday morning.
Kinsey, what's your best animal sound? What do you have?
Oh, God.
No, I can't do it like that. I need, like, inspiration. Where's the...
Okay,
wait.
Listen,
Kayla, you got a good monkey.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Do the monkey. Kinsey can imitate.
Do it.
Hold on.
Look at that. Kinsey, there's your inspiration.
It didn't sound good because Popper just gave me tie dye. He went.
Is that what tipped you off, is Popper?
To me, ears back on his head like something's wrong. So I don't think it was a good one.
Okay, but he does seem like the kind of dog that always feels like there's something wrong.
He's like, "Oh, you're talking again? Shut up."
That's a good point. I don't understand. Because, listeners, in case you didn't hear before, I was assaulted by that dog. And I know it's because of my personality. I was definitely profiled for my personality.
If you watch
I jumped
TikTok,
too much.
There is a clip.
It's when I was rowing.
There's a clip in it that explains why he bit your ass.
Okay, I don't not understand why. I'm just saying that I was profiled in there, okay? But I don't understand why he doesn't like me, but yet he lives with you.
No, I know. I picked him up that day at the shelter, and he decided that he loved me more than anything, and he's been loyal since, and I don't get it either, but he is loyal to a fault. I do all sorts of weird shit. I dress him up in my clothes. He's like, this is okay.
You know what? I think it's because Kinsey is hyper-voiced. Annie is hyper-bodied.
That's a good point. I can actually be a very quiet person.
Every time Annie moved, Copper was like, I'm going to bite you.
I move a lot.
Oh, she bit him. He bit her right through her pants.
Right.
Kevin asked what we were doing. And if I remember correctly, we were playing a drinking game, right?
Yeah.
And I think, Kinsey, I feel like you and I had to head off and do like a better... do you call it? Like a skit, but what do you call it?
A scene.
Pretend. Yeah. Like we were, weren't we like whitewater rafting?
Yeah. I think it
was rapids, right?
Well, it must explain why. Why else you were rowing.
Because then I crashed. I remember I crashed and I fell off the chair and that's when I got assaulted, right?
He didn't like that. He didn't like when you fell off the chair. How dare you?
I'm mid-crash and I'm getting bit on the ass.
I just remember on the way home, Annie was like, those were my favorite pants. I can't tell Kinsey. She'll be sad and buy me a new pair.
I did try to buy her a new pair.
But look, it didn't even matter. It was an exciting night. You know, that was a fun time.
It's funny because Copper loves Kayla. They just chill. Copper just like lays in Kayla's lap. He's like, love me.
He knows I want it too much.
Wishes
he
invites me. Help.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's because he's begging me for attention. And I'm just like, I just want Cricket. That's the only thing.
Like, could you leave me alone?
But he's like literally the size of my body and just tries to find.
He might be bigger. There have been several times Kayla has come over and Copper to my parents' house, to my house. And Copper's just like, hello, I love you so much. And Kayla doesn't even make eye contact. She's like, I don't even know you're here.
Well, didn't you say he doesn't like men?
Yeah.
I am man-sized. I think that's what it is.
Right. That's what it is.
Right.
He is
much better to me than Aurora and Yoda.
Not Yoda, though. You can't say that about Yoda.
I have literally come home with bruises down the side of my body because of your dogs.
Right. I think that's
that was mostly Aurora.
That's definitely a size problem, though, because they're used to having to, like, leap to get to Annie. That they don't have to leap for you, so you're just getting, like, completely physically destroyed.
There was one time I went to Annie's house and oh my god. So I parked my car. I parked my car in her little parking lot that she has at her freaking farm. And I opened my door. It had been raining. I opened my door. Both dogs.
Look how dramatic she's being.
Both dogs jump in my car with muddy feet and fur. And they just start going in circles in my car. It's like a mosh pit. Just like.
Okay. For listeners, they are Australian shepherds. Wait. They are also called wriggle butts. That's what they do. They go in circles.
Do you remember, like, way back in middle school or in high school, that weird thing that they did that, like, people would show up at your school with a huge ball and they had, like, the motorcycles and the motorcycles would get and they would just.
Oh my God.
They do that monster at NASCAR.
You just unlocked a core memory from childhood for me. Yes, I do remember that. You need
they
to
didn't
sell-
do it at my school, but.
Then they'd be like, you need to sell these chocolate bars and we'll take you on a trip to the moon. No!
I don't even know what they were promoting, but they were motorcycles and a ball. And they would just, like this. Was like- that is exactly what her dogs did. And my whole car was muddy.
Okay, but keep going. What happened after?
I told Kevin to clean my car, and he did. And
you came back.
And he made fun of me because I had at least 6 months worth of English muffin dust in my
He washed it. He vacuumed it. Your car was cleaner than it came there. Okay.
I've never seen a lot of things. Okay. I've never seen a man as whipped, but okay with it as Kevin. I've never seen a woman who loves English muffins as much as Kayla. I've never seen anything like Annie's dogs. And they literally, they think they live on a farm. They think they're farm dogs. They don't. They live in a house with like three cats and an old guy. But it's a farm! They're crazy.
They are insane. I have to like mentally I literally, it will be the dead of summer and I have to wear jeans to your house because they will shred my legs.
I will say I signed Aurora up for training.
When?
They opened an animal shelter up, a no-kill shelter up about 15 minutes from my house. So they do a lot of like thrift store there. It's a lot like the one that you have, the humane shelter in yours, Kinsey. But they have all kind of services and they do canine training there. So Aurora's, she's gone through preliminary. I have to actually like sign, like schedule, but she got approved.
Wow.
Not
yeah, like, yeah, she's going to.
Just Aurora.
We're going to start with Aurora and see how it goes. Then we're going to bring Yona. Yona's a different kind.
Aurora knows how to play dead if Annie pretends to shoot her with a fake gun. So that's pretty cool.
You got to tell her to do it, though. She doesn't like doing it. She'll complain.
You think so? You wonder why I don't make eye contact with Copper? It's because if I make eye contact with Aurora, she like slowly starts getting wilder and wilder, and you can see her winding up to just completely.
I feel like it's the exact same way with Annie, though. I don't know. I feel like if you make eye contact with either of the dogs or Annie. You're done. That's it.
It's true. Aurora and I are the same. We know it.
And yeah, for sure. I'm definitely Copper. Like, we either love you or that's it. We're going to bite your ass.
Kayla, what's your animal? Is it? It's not Alice. Alice is sweet and quiet and shy.
She's my baby, like my very special baby. But I think I'm more of like a. I feel like I'm more of a Nyx, unfortunately.
I thought you were about to say Gary.
No, Gary. See, Gary's a little too sloth-like for me. She just like hides under covers and wants to sleep for 48 hours.
Gary reminds me of a 13-year-old boy gamer.
Yes. Gary is DJ. DJ is Gary.
True.
Like, when I accidentally sat on Gary because I didn't know she was there, she just went, wah! And then she sat back down. Like if I accidentally hit DJ, he would do the same.
Yeah, no, Nyx is like, so my dad used to call me Nat. That's mm-hmm. That's exactly how Nyx is. She just,
it's a flying bug. Let's be clear about that. Not N-A-T, G-N-A-T.
Yeah, yeah, G-N-A-T, like the zzz, ow, my eye, that one. You can tell her to stop 45 times and she'll still. And it's just absolutely obnoxious.
I really enjoyed the other day when you had whatever it was and she put it on the top of the bookcase and she was like, I'm going to get that drink.
It was milk.
The milk.
It was milk. Guess what? Sarah came 2 days later and she was, because we were about to fly out to San Francisco, and she's like, what do I need to do while you're packing? Like, because, you know, she was helping me clean the house because I don't like coming back to like a dirty house. And she's like, what do I need to do? And I was like, I don't know. Just like walk around. If you see something like that needs to be picked up. I was like, if you find any rotting milk. And I looked at her and she's like, there's rotting milk.
Oh my God, you forgot
the
milk.
She's like, there's rotting milk, isn't there? And I was like, yeah, it's on the top of my bookshelf. And she was like, what the fuck? She was like, why is there rotting milk on the top of your bookshelf? And I was like, listen, it's Nyx's fault. It was really gross. I would have forgotten all about it because I don't look up there very often.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Rotting milk is the hardest thing to get out of a cup too. Especially if they got tiny openings.
Ugh. Gross.
Why don't you just drink the milk? Anyways. Hey, okay, I have a poll. I have a poll question.
Oh God. I have a poll.
I know you. Mm-hmm. I have a poll question. If your guy is a singer.
No. No.
I want to know. We've really got to figure out how to get this out to listeners because I want to know what other women say. Okay. This is not to do with the actual story that we're going to talk about today with Love is Blind, but more just leading into this. If you haven't watched Love is Blind, there are multiple serenades. And it's amazing each time. Honestly, it just gets better and better.
I'm embarrassed just thinking about it.
Okay, but if he's a singer and he's good, is it better?
It's got to be. Okay, listen. No, that's a good question because I'm wondering, what's the threshold? When is it okay for you to serenade me?
John Legend comes up to you and he's trying to flirt with you. No, and you start singing.
No, that's the thing. I think the difference is that real singers don't do that.
From all of you.
Well, we got 6 comments on the TikTok I posted where basically everyone was like, no.
But they were bad and they made up their own songs. What if, okay, Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Have you seen, I don't know, Kinsey, have you watched Schitt's Creek?
Yeah.
Okay. Patrick sings to.
You can do it.
Yeah. I can't.
What's his name?
No, I just rewatched it.
David.
David. Patrick sings to David, okay? And at first, you know, I'm with David. I'm like, this is going to be terrible. Like, you can't do that. Then he sings and I'm like, oh my God, not only is that like a really great rendition of that song, he sounds amazing. And I think that's actually him doing it.
Yeah, it is.
That was sweet. And I even teared up the first time I was watching it because it was so good.
Well, yeah, because it was really sweet and it wasn't cringy and it wasn't in a pod where you couldn't make eye contact and it wasn't part of
it. Yeah. So to an audience, you need an audience and you can't be the central focus. That's the rule.
No,
I don't want to. I never want it. I don't care if they sing for a living. I don't want it.
Listen, this is the only scenario in which this is acceptable to me. Okay. If I am sitting there reading a book and you are in the other room and I happen to hear you practicing, I'm okay with that. If you sit in front of me and say, I wrote you a song, I'm immediately throwing up in your lap.
You know,
John Krasinski walks up and says, I'm going to sing you a song to show you how much I love you.
Celebrities don't count.
It's John Krasinski.
John Krasinski. John Krasinski tells me to sit down. I will sit down. Helmst ever.
Yes, daddy.
Helmst ever. I refuse to let just like a boy I've been dating for 2 days serenade me in a pod. I can't.
Kinsey, I'm surprised you don't want this.
Nothing makes me more uncomfortable. I'm going to be honest with you. All the men in my life, the ones that are like, oh yeah, I play guitar, and they like post videos of them playing guitar, I have never gotten more ick. I can't do it.
Right.
Like, just play music by yourself. Like, I've seen several guys on dating apps who post videos of them singing and playing on their guitar.
No.
Oh, no.
Is that worse?
Yes. I'm like, no. And I would not be surprised if either Kwame or Zach have a Tinder with videos of them playing guitars.
Oh, no. See also, okay. Clay plays guitar, but he plays metal. he used to call me in his room whenever he's like, Kayla, I've been working on this song. Come listen to this. And he would like fucking shred the guitar. And I'm like, that's sick. I like that. If you sit there and sing poetry to me, please, I will faint.
Can you imagine? Wait. Imagine a guy's like, I want to play you a song, and he comes out with a trumpet.
Hey, I actually really like saxophones. Saxophones are really cool.
That's a sexy instrument, though. That's different than a trumpet.
Oh, I know. Is mayonnaise an instrument?
You know who plays the saxophone?
Gus.
Me.
Oh. I thought you played the clarinet.
No. I don't do sax. Because no. I'm sexy.
Okay, do you play or did you play?
I haven't played in a long time, but I know how to play, yes.
I want you to
play. So if we were to rent you, yeah, if I'm going to rent you one next girl's trip. I'm coming with a saxophone.
She has one. She has it. Saxophone.
Why have we not done that? Kinsey, that's perfect.
Kinsey,
TikTok.
Playing. I enjoyed it a lot. And I wasn't bad. It was much more enjoyable than me singing. That's for sure.
Well, that's the bar not much. The bar is very low for
you
that.
And Zach.
I do want to say, look, I literally just pulled up TikTok because I was looking at the comments, and the very first thing that came up was Zach, long lost property brother. I fucking told you. That looks like the property brothers.
He really does.
Ugh. And I don't find them attractive either. Sorry.
I want to know what listeners say. If your guy, but you know, I think there's some variables, right? So for one, the type of instrument you choose is very important.
Absolutely.
Right? No, what do you call that? Recorders. Like, you can't just have a recorder or a trumpet.
What are those?
Maybe drums.
What are those little round rocks with holes in them? And you
kazoos?
Like,
harmonicas?
No, they're rocks. They're rocks.
Rocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
Just make it.
Keep going.
Okay.
Okay, no. I'm going to be honest, I would find a man serenading me on a recorder much more enjoyable than him singing on. That shit would be.
You can't laugh at him. You had to smile. That's the other part, though. It's not so much like if they're good or not. It's like opening a present in front of somebody who got it for you, right? That's awkward sometimes to have to be like really excited to open the present. You have to show them you like it. It's like active listening, but active praise, okay? Right. Active approval. To do that for like 3 minutes of a song, like, dude, just play a clip. Yeah, 30 seconds is the most I can smile
no,
for.
No, this. That's no. Five seconds. If it's right. Not a joke, I'm not interested.
I think that was the hardest part.
No, if it's not a joke, I'm not interested.
I think that was the hardest part was like just how into it Chelsea was. I couldn't identify. I didn't understand.
I got her wrong. I misunderstood her. I admit it. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not the same.
I don't know how you thought that you guys were
one
similar.
Clip. When she was sitting there in the group of women and she was talking to Micah, I didn't think about it. She was more responding to the fact that she probably doesn't like Micah. And that's why she was so prickly. That's the, I did dishes a lot when I was watching this and worked a lot when I was watching this. So I didn't actually watch it. I listened to it. So her voice and how she talked about things seemed very serious a lot. But then I went back and watched more and I was like, okay, never mind. She's very perky. And that's not me, dog.
Perky or like
happy?
No, she's not even that happy. She's girly? Just like, I don't know, man. Something about her says that she will.
She's positive.
Interpret something wrong and just tear him to shreds.
She's very optimistic.
I think you're still wrong about your opinion on Chelsea.
I don't know. She was like, your music speaks to me. She's like fucking crying. She's like doing the little hand in the air. Like, she was really fucking into it.
Excuse me. The rock with holes is called an ocarina. Fuck off.
An ocarina.
Ocarina. I'll pull one up for you to look at. But anyway.
Yeah, spell it.
How closely related is that to the Macarena?
No. Not at all.
Facts.
Oh.
It's spelled with a C?
Yeah, it's an ocarina.
Why does the Legend of Zelda come up?
Because he plays Link plays an ocarina.
What?
Is this a real thing or is this a video game instrument?
No, it's a real instrument.
But did it come from a video game and they made it into a real instrument?
Stop being an asshole.
It's a wind musical instrument. It's not even a rock.
Zelda is making music cool again.
It can be made from bone.
See?
So it was probably very primitive.
It's also called a vessel flute.
It's a very old instrument and both of you can suck a fat one.
I'm sorry that I don't to see him play his rock.
You know what? If someone was sitting on the other side of that wall playing the ocarina, I'd be into it.
Okay, well, I'm ready to talk more. So Annie, when you're done choking, please.
Oh, right.
I'm so ready.
Okay. Are we ready for today's story?
Well, we're already halfway in it. Go.
Yeah, we are. So today, listeners, we are going to bring you a special episode analyzing different components of the experiment that they call on Love is Blind. So they call it an experiment. We're going to talk about kind of some of the variables within this, but also looking at it from what they're actually measuring and studying. So we are going to create the experiment. Kinsey, you're going to be a pro at this because you had to do this 10,000 times, right? Yeah. So listeners, if you don't watch Love is Blind, I think you can follow along here. We're going to talk a lot about the, I was going to say characters, the cast on Love is Blind, different seasons.
Oh, they're characters.
But you don't have to watch it. Yeah, they are characters. Okay, so first of all, I actually looked up the application for Love is Blind. They are doing a nationwide casting call. So you can go to worldwidecasting.com and you can apply. I asked Kevin. He said no.
Well, that's just rude.
I'm I'm interested in seeing what else is out there.
It's a very long application. Let me go ahead and tell you. 77 questions is on there.
What?
Hold on.
77 questions.
77 open-ended questions? Or is
there are very many open-ended. There's, of course, at the demographics page, right? Where you're saying yes or no's and what's your name, where you live, stuff like that. Even down to are you married? How many kids? So there's some they're very short answers. But then there's at least 50 of them that you have to go through and answer. So it's things that range from, what are some interests that you have? What are three hobbies? Why do you think you're still single? Literally one of the questions is, why are you a catch? Kinsey, answer that question. Why are you a catch?
She wouldn't finish the rest of the application because she would just be spending her whole dissertation time on this one question.
So good.
So that part would be at least 8 pages long. So I'd be so first and foremost, I want you guys to know that I am the kindest, sweetest person in the United States. So. Okay,
no, you can't lie.
No. This is my reality.
Oh.
My narrative.
Okay, keep going.
I'm beautiful. I'm kind. I'm a devout volunteer. I'd love to learn. I love to discuss critiques and criticisms of other people.
But why are you a catch?
Because I'm better than everybody else.
I can't wait for Nick Lachey to shred you apart in the after show.
Okay, I was going to say, for the application, no way he looks at that shit. But oh, yeah, I'm ready. He'd be like, oh yeah, fake crier guy. He didn't come on.
Oh. All right, Kayla, pick a number, 29 to 77.
65.
Mm-mm, pick another one.
Okay, 69.
Okay, here you go. Please list three personal references. Who would they be?
Big me.
No, absolutely not. No.
Kinsey and Annie are just one. We'll do a group call.
Okay, you guys can be a group. No.
What is something you would be hesitant to share in the pods?
I'm married.
I think I would be hesitant in the pods to say that I'm a therapist. Not anywhere else.
Yeah.
But in the pods I would be.
No, that's a great point.
I think it would be the fact that we're marriage therapists that would really make me uncomfortable. I think if we were just like individual therapists, that would be different. But the fact that we're marriage therapists, that makes dating hard for sure. I know you guys don't know that, but I'll let you know, being a marriage therapist makes dating hard.
No, I think
I've only been married for like 2 years, 3 years.
Anyway. Right.
No, yeah, I think the pod would just turn into like a free therapy session if you said that.
Oh yes. God. Yeah. They would definitely go into it, especially these people. Cause they're like much more, I feel like these are more emotional than your average person. Like they express a lot more very quickly than your average. And maybe it's just the pods. I don't know. Maybe it's the experiment. It works.
No,
go ahead, Kenzie.
I definitely think that like they've got to fill out the application. I don't know how much you looked into this, but I would definitely think part of the interview process has got to be seeing what your personality type is and making sure that number one, you would be good on TV, and number two, that you would have a personality that stands out from other personalities on the show. And I think that's...
You have to have a video.
What?
You have to have a video, like you upload a video.
Oh, shit.
I think that's got to be part of the reason why some of these people don't get so much airtime, right? Because like they aren't standing out.
Yeah, no. Some of the people don't get airtime at all. Like you go and you look at the lounge and you're like, who the fuck is that? I've never seen that person before ever.
Right. I don't like that. What's his face? The guy that's supposedly coming back in part two to fight for the girl with the big hair. I don't know his name. I don't like that we didn't get to see any of their interactions in the pod because I don't know whose side to take. They're just telling
me. Bliss?
No.
Zach and Bliss?
No, the other one. The guy... Marshall and what's her face?
Oh.
What's her name?
Jackie.
So you know how she was supposed to pick between Marshall and that other guy? I can't remember his name. But I saw on the preview
for...
The one with the giant ears, yes.
Sorry.
That's the only thing I could focus on.
He has huge ears, but like supposedly he's going to come back and be like, you still should pick me. That's what they showed in the preview at least.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I can't wait until that moment.
Okay, but maybe I want to pick his side. I didn't get to see what their pod interactions were like. I literally didn't know that she was dating him until they were like, oh yeah, today he gave me an ultimatum and said he's leaving if I don't pick him. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that happening.
No, but I think Marshall's really good for her.
Right, but what if the other guy's better for her?
No. The fact that he was willing to like... I don't know, the way that she said that he was going to pack his bags and leave if she didn't say yes to him. I don't know. It feels a little manipulative to me.
Well, sure. No.
I don't necessarily see it that way. I saw it as if it's not you, there's no reason for me to be here.
No, I can see both ways. I can see it both ways. But the way that she presented it to Marshall made it sound like she felt manipulated.
Yeah, but I didn't, Marshall's reaction is why I didn't love him in the beginning.
Hold on, pause. If you have not watched Love is Blind Part 1, this is all about Love is Blind Part 1. Please pause and come back to this after you watch it, if you even care about this.
Everything.
If you hate reality TV, this is not the episode for you because this is the whole episode is we're just going to be talking shit about Love is Blind. I know you're 37 minutes in.
No, we're going to bring psychology though.
No, I know, but I'm saying 37 minutes in, we're 37 minutes in. It's too late. You might as well finish it off.
Let's set it up though, right? Okay, so Love is Blind is an experiment.
Yep.
Okay, now I wondered if there was like any kind of official thought process in this. I don't find any. So it's just a TV show with a setup, right?
I thought it was real.
I know, crazy. I was hoping it was real. I wanted to find the abstract. Yeah, I did not find one.
I would like for you to be clear. It's a social experiment. That's specifically the word choice they use.
True.
I know, but I just thought that maybe they meant like it was an experiment within the social world. Like you can still say it's like an observational experiment, right?
So I'm observing.
We are all the observers.
I do
believe. Okay, so you have the experiment. What they are measuring is the question, is love blind? So can people fall in love before you actually see them? So they're seeing this as kind of an original idea, which is funny because people all over the world have been falling in love online for years.
No.
Not the point, I guess. Right. Also in letters and stuff, pen pals.
The difference is, though, that they have all of their realistic world taken away. So they're stripped of their phones. They're stripped of their video games. They are stripped of outside stressors. They don't have to worry about work. They literally take their phones. That part is different.
Yes, that is different. It is a little bit more controlled. Much more controlled, hopefully. So then the question is love is blind? So first, what I wanted to do is you need to have an operational definition of love. Like, so how do you measure love? In an actual experiment, you need to be able to measure the thing that you're trying to study. And that's going to be love here. So how do you define love, right?
Kinsey, what is love? Love, baby?
Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more.
All right. So we got some definitions of love. You got deep affection. You got liking something a lot. It's an enduring feeling. You know, love is going to be different according to relationships. Lots of different research on like how long people fall in love. You also have love according to like Darwinian ideas. So your evolutionary perspective of love is like reproducing and mating. Psychodynamic theory, Freud is going to look at love as like something that's sexual in nature. But on here, they're just going to say love is probably just that feeling you get. But even that feeling you get, right, if you look at it scientifically, is going to come from something like oxytocin and what is it, prolactin or something? All these different hormones and neurotransmitters or anything that come up when you start to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's love. So we know that you can feel good feelings from cocaine. But that's not necessarily love.
It is.
Don't think.
Don't tell me it's not.
This isn't the 80s, Kayla. Back off.
I want my, what is it called? Never mind. Fuck it.
You want your
nose shooters?
Mm-mm. No.
No. Ocarina?
I was saying the living room that is like down here.
What do they call that? It's like a drop ceiling, but the opposite.
Yeah, it's like a living. It's like a living room. There's with a floor down.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, there's actually a word for it.
I can't think of it.
I think of key parties when I think of that.
I'll look it up.
Anyways, okay, so they are constantly when people fall in love on the show. Like it'll be what is it? How long do they date for in the pods where they're just like talking? Is it like 4 weeks, 4 days? What is it? Do we know?
I don't think it's 4 weeks. I think it's like 2 weeks.
It's. I know it's at least a week because I've heard them reference it in time before.
It's called a sunken living room.
Ah, that makes sense. You know why?
I couldn't think of the word sunken.
Okay, so.
10 days, 20 dates in total to find their future partner.
Mm.
And at the end of it, many of them, four each season somehow, at least four, they're saying that they are in love with each other. And they pick each other, like they say yes to each other. The guy, I think, has always been the one to ask, except for Damien and Gianna.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What a travesty.
Oh, my God. I loved her. Hate him to the max.
It is a brain wreck.
Yes. So at the end of it, they love each other. And I think that's almost like the first thing I think about is like, how do you know you love them? How do you know you love them?
But it's not even just that. It's all of the other people that they also told they love, right?
Right.
Like in this, we have Bliss. Every season, there's another person where they're like, I love you too, but not as much. Or I have to pick.
Mm-hmm. And then magically, after that person doesn't pick them, they're like, you know what? I just got it wrong. I didn't see what was right in front of me.
Oh my God. Colleen. Oh, she gets under my skin. The way she handled Love is Blind, she was leaving there with a husband no matter what. She was like, you know what? Yes. I am going to this show and I am going to leave with a man. Because she did. And look at her thrive with that red flag.
In two different apartments.
Ugh. God. Okay.
Still haven't been together after a year of marriage.
I will preface this by saying this is coming from person Kayla, not therapist Kayla. This is all like my personal opinions, like, and that I feel like we speak for all of us saying like shit talking these couples is coming from us as people, not as therapists.
Okay. But even therapist Annie is going, okay, so you have all these interpersonal communication issues. You guys have no idea how to handle conflict. You present with a pursue withdrawal cycle. So, I mean, either way I look at it, I'm seeing the dynamics, right? So, but personally, I'm just going to say it's fucked up. It's just fucked up. I don't need to talk about the dynamics.
It is big fucked up.
There are a lot of the Four Horsemen in Love is Blind. And the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
Good point.
So, explain that to our viewers. The Four Horsemen are a concept that is usually used in Gottman couples therapy. The Gottmans are an old married couple who have been doing therapy for like 50 years, from what I understand. They do research as well on couples. And they can tell what they say. They can tell within 10 seconds of meeting a couple if their relationship will last or not. So the Four Horsemen are criticism, critique, stonewalling, and defensiveness. And they're basically the red flags in a relationship that show like you guys probably aren't going to make it. They have antidotes for all of these, which mean that, you know, they're considered, they like coin them as like poison for your relationship. And the antidote is a way for you to fix that so that you don't ruin your relationship. You don't make it so your partner doesn't want to be there anymore. And I see a lot of stonewalling. I see a lot of defensiveness. I see a lot of criticism. There's a lot of all of that, as well as like the constant, like, I'm just going to leave, like the constant idea that like, oh yes, love, we should be picking our partner each and every day, but they don't. They're like, well, you know, you're having a bad day, so maybe we should just end it constantly. That's not healthy.
Oh yeah. You're having an issue. You're having a problem picking between me and some other person. Well, I think that my person should love me and fight for me no matter what. Bitch, that's part of the experiment.
Yeah, I've known you for 10 days.
Right. Well, no, my person should love me no matter what, and they should know automatically. Hello? It's been 4 days.
Well, and that brings up the whole, like, love with conditions thing. Like, do you love them, the person that they want to be, or do you love the person that you're trying to make them be? But, like, imagine Love is Blind if they had family therapists come in where you can do counseling sessions to understand your triggers in conflict. And even like whether it's Gottman or emotionally focused therapy, that you're understanding like all those triggers and how you respond in conflict to better show up in conflict. Imagine the success rates that they would have then. Love is Blind Part 2.
There is a TV show where they have marriage therapists on it. I want to say it's Married at First Sight, though.
I think that. It's Married at First Sight. They have psychologists and therapists, maybe therapists. I know they have psychologists look at, like, same thing, huge questionnaire, and they try to pair people together, and then they get married, and then they have, like, what, 90 days to figure out if they're going to stay together or not?
I've never really gotten into that one, but I watched one episode, and it seemed like they had an LMFT like us on the show, and it seemed like she was, like, involved in that process hands-on with them.
Mm. No.
I don't know. To what capacity? But
the capacity that their lawyers told them to be.
I was going to say, that sounds very on the brink. Oh, that's telling some lines.
Well, so the other part of Love is Blind that bothers me is like, okay, so in an experiment, you try to eliminate any variables that could manipulate the outcome of the study that you're not trying to manipulate. So in Love is Blind, we'd be looking at more of like, I guess it would be somewhat observational, but you're not really sort of manipulating anything. Well, I guess you are manipulating some variables. Anyways, so you're trying to eliminate all these variables. But in this, consider how the people are different going into the pods. Because like they even talk about that at the beginning. Like, why are you doing this show versus just dating out in the real world? And they say, well, people, especially the women, you'll hear this from, that the men don't necessarily want to marry out in the real world, right? Mm-hmm. So outside the pods, they're not always ready to settle down, have kids, but they know, right? Big old air quotes here. They know that the men that come here are going to be ready to marry and settle down.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Supposedly.
Supposedly. So like that, I think is a big difference is that you go in, my God, right? You go in with the expectation that you're coming out married. So that, think about it, like cognitive bias, you are going to try and fit everything into, I will be married. Just like you're talking about Colleen. I think that's everybody going in. I'm going to come out married. And so if this person looks like somebody that I can marry, hell yeah, it's the universe speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
We like the same. I'm sorry. How many people love the song? What's the dance song that Zach was talking about?
I hope you dance. Literally
everybody knows that song. You know all the lyrics?
He was so shocked. He was like, you know that song?
Even her, I think it was Bliss, right?
Yeah.
Even Bliss was like shocked. Oh my God, that's your song? My mom listened to that song and I listened to that song.
You must
it's
marry
a popular song.
We are perfect together. Sign me up.
I'll tell Kevin.
Shit, I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
So ready. I was going to say, I think that's part of the reason why arranged marriages have such good success rates is what they say, right? Like you're committed. And that is, again, going back to the Gottmans, they have this thing called the sound relationship house, which is levels of a house that you're supposed to basically
add that.
Yeah. The blueprint for your relationship. And it's held up by the walls of trust and commitment. Mm-hmm. And so committing to your partner is a huge piece of the equation and saying like, we're going to get married is a huge piece of the equation. You can make a lot of things work if you're committed to doing so.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really great point because that's something I constantly tell people in therapy is that all these other layers of the house don't really matter if you're not committed to each other. You have to have trust and commitment in all these things to work. But these are this is more of a foundation. The walls are than the actual foundation.
Right. And I think that is one of the biggest issues with Matt, Colleen's husband, is because from the get-go, he has constantly been unable to trust her in any situation. She's in her 20s, I think. And he, like, after they were all like partying and stuff, she went out with her friends and he freaked out and threatened to leave. Like, because she wanted to go out with her friends. And like, I don't know.
And when she was talking to
Cole,
the man child.
Cole.
Yeah. Man child. Mm-hmm. Which I like. He's a little teddy bear. But
I think he got ran over when he shouldn't have.
I do too. I don't think the way that they portrayed him was very fair. I don't think he's the most mature person or the person ready for a relationship. But I do think that he is a good person who just gets taken wrongly.
Yeah. I think Colleen and Cole would have made a much better couple than him and Sanab.
Sure agree with that.
I know that she, like all those girls love her, but there's definitely some personality disorders with Zanab.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't remember that. Zanab. I loved her.
No. She just got right up under my skin.
To the end, man. To the end, she wanted to go at him.
Oof.
Yeah. She was just very mean. Like, very, mm-hmm. very. And that guy is clearly an idiot. Like, I don't know what
she's definitely toxic. I would call her toxic. Like, she is the manipulator. She's the twister. And she has no idea what she's even doing half the time
mm-hmm.
when she's doing it.
Yeah.
So I have a question for y'all. How many days do you think it takes men on average to tell their partner that they love them?
On 90. Average?
Mm-hmm.
Kinsey,
you're saying 90?
14.
Kayla, you're saying 14 days?
Days.
Kinsey, who is in charge of Kayla, you are correct. 88 days on average.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like the average milestone is about 3 months.
So for women, what do you think? Now, this I always hate when we kind of get too binary, but for women, how many days for women do you think it takes for them to tell their partner that they love them?
Is this 30. Telling their partner first or telling their partner, I love you, period?
This just says to tell their partner they love them.
14 days.
So many answers.
I give up. 14 days.
Kinsey, what did you say? 30. Okay, so now this is a part of a 2013 survey conducted by YouGov and eHarmony, okay?
Mm. Ooh.
I also would have guessed lower than men. This says 134 days.
Holy shit.
Oh!
I was surprised at this stat as well.
I'm an idiot. How many months is that?
4.5. It says it in parentheses.
Okay. I know you didn't do that math by yourself.
Nope, right beside it. 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah, and apparently 39% of men say I love you within a month of dating someone. I thought that was interesting. Like, you would not think, just based off of stereotypes, that women were the ones waiting.
39% of men.
I think women.
Yeah, 39% of men. Go ahead.
Are much more skeptical because of the the society that we live in. I think that it is, as a woman, I think that if I were dating in the world how it is, I would be extremely skeptical, and I would have very, very sturdy walls for a long time in my relationship.
Yeah.
Had a very similar conversation in session yesterday. One of my clients was with a guy long term who, like, I definitely think has some toxic qualities, more so than not. And so she just started dating somebody new like a month ago, and she was like, so I saw this term, love bombing. Can you explain to me what that means?
Oh, no.
Just concerned. Like, how do I know if it's love bombing or like what?
Which is a very fair question. Because you're at the beginning of the relationship.
No, and she said it in such like, she was like, I just want to make sure I understand what it is because I haven't dated for a long time. Like, can you explain it to me? We had a really good conversation about it. And I was like, first and foremost, if he is love bombing, you're not going to know. Like, realistically, you're probably not going to notice until it's too late. Second off, you're basically just got to take a chance and assume, like.
Can you explain love bombing?
Yeah. And so I didn't even look it up. I just kind of explained it to her, like, really overtly on your best behavior, right? Like gifts, praise, affection.
You mean, I just Googled it really quickly to see how it's defined. You want me to just read that definition really quick?
Yeah.
The action or practice of lavishing someone, lavishing very important here, with affection or attention, especially in order to influence or manipulate them. I would say take out especially because it's in order to manipulate them. If you are love bombing, like it's intentionally to manipulate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I was just kind of like, this is kind of like the hand we're dealt when you start dating somebody new. You kind of just have to trust and wait and see. Like, you won't know. They're either generally a good person who cares about you or they're not. I mean,
you just gotta see if it's consistent.
Only time will tell on that. But I also was like, no, he's like, it sounds like he's literally just being a nice guy. Like, you're just not used to that. I don't think he's love bombing you.
Right.
Like, getting you flowers because you had your first day at work is not love bombing, right?
Well, however, if you have only had toxic relationships or if you have only seen hard and difficult relationships, then someone who's genuine and someone who is going to show you love right out the gate is probably alarming and confusing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And I validated that for sure. And that's one of my favorite things about, being a therapist, a young single therapist, right? And being with clients who are also in those kind of realms, because like identifying the difference between healthy and unhealthy relationships and like what that looks like and helping people learn that, because unfortunately, like the three of us are experts in this, but most women are not. Most women are, they're basing it off of whatever their parents' relationships were like. And we know that not all their parents' relationships were healthy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's hard to identify like, hey, this isn't healthy. Some of the best cases I've ever had are me getting women out of abusive relationships that they didn't realize were abusive. That's one of the most fulfilling things for me.
And the time thing. So we're talking about like love bombing. It's basically you're waiting to see if it's going to be a consistent behavior or if there's kind of intention there. There's a psychologist that I was reading. This is Psychology Today. And she, I think she, let me make sure before I assume that. Yeah, so it is she, Michelle Quirk, no, reviewed by Michelle Quirk. So this is a psychologist. They don't have their name out and about, but they're saying there's kind of three main reasons that this show is unhealthy for participants. And the last thing is because there's simply not enough time in the experiment. So that says different people have different opinions on how much time is enough time to get to know someone. So you're basing this off of intuitions and kind of these like very small snippets of what you think will be patterns. Because think about how long it takes sometimes in a relationship to see the patterns that are not going to work in your relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's why she's like, there's not enough time for you to actually get to know them, especially right. because after, I think she said, usually couples are not committed to each other until about 6 months in. Then you start to see like people falling in love, and that's when you see like people getting married. So like, that's kind of like an average amount of time people spend in a relationship for their long term.
Yeah. Right.
And I mean, and that's one of the biggest issues with this, right? Most of these people on this show don't make it to the long term point.
Well, I've
there's what?
I'm
how many people are married?
Like six. Go ahead, Kayla.
We got Cameron.
Cameron and Lauren.
Right.
And then they
Cameron and Lauren. On the, Alexis and
no, other than the there was another one on their season that got married, but they broke up. They got a divorce recently. What was his name?
I can't remember anybody from that first season.
I know you're talking about the little cute short girl with like the braids, the knots.
Oh, no. The tall guy.
No. Was that season two? Was that?
You're talking about like the really tall guy with the really short woman?
Yeah, I think
so. A black couple?
Yeah.
No.
When he was always like wanted to play his video games. What season was that?
That was like season two or three. No, I'm talking about the white couple. His name was like Barnett. Barnett.
Oh, yeah, Barnett. Barnett's from my hometown.
Oh, nice. Barnett and what's her face? I forgot her name. But either way, they just got a divorce, so they don't really count. But they did get married.
They got divorced?
Yes.
Wow. That surprises me. He was really ignoring a lot of her red flags for a while. Really hard there.
Wait, oh, yeah. Okay. Barnett and Matt and Amber.
Yeah.
I might be thinking.
I remember them now.
Of no, they are still going strong. I'm thinking of. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. So
the ones that dressed up. The ones that dressed up in the costumes, they are the ones that got a divorce.
Yes.
I forgot their names.
So. Our apologies to the super fans. Barnett and Amber are fine. Still together.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to freak anybody else.
Sorry, Amber. We don't care about your red flags. You're still happily married. I know who you're talking about. The really immature girl.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, oh, well, she's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, Colleen. Oh, my God. There's an ad. Yeah, we're going to have to go out and go back and figure out who. Lauren and Cameron. Amber and Matt from season one. They're not together. It kept going into other ones who are also not together.
Okay.
Another reason that they talked about that, the reason that they didn't like the setup of it is the way that they phrase the thing. So Nick and Vanessa are often using the line, let's see, what is it? Will love be enough? Is who you are on the inside enough? Are you enough? Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, wait. So basically, if you don't get married by the end of this, you just ain't it. You're not enough for people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's really a terrible approach, right? Like, can you imagine going into this going, okay, the reason that people don't date me and then marry me is because like they're not serious, we're just not very compatible, they're only liking me for my looks, and then you go in and then you also get turned down for who you are.
Well, see, okay, so here's something else that I find very interesting. It takes a certain type of person to even apply for this show, right? So you already have that part somewhat similar, and then you start thinking about, okay, like you said, it takes like a lot of time for people to like grow into their love. So you hear a lot, especially on this season, or maybe I just have like recency bias. They talk a lot about compromise and compromising. But like even in compromising, it takes a lot of time to develop a compromise. So, like, you can start off with a compromise and talk that compromise through. Then you live through that for a month or two. And then you're like, you know what? This is actually not working for me on my side. What can we do to change that compromise? Then you change the compromise again. And then you live through that compromise. And so it just keeps building and building until you get to somewhere that works for both of you. However, like you said, there is not enough time on this show for people to work through compromises and to work through the give and take of what the true love relationship actually means.
So then, all right, our Gottman therapist, what is Gottman going to call those problems, Kinsey?
Good job.
Problems that keep reoccurring and are continuous throughout the relationship.
I have a binder with the Gottman stuff.
Perpetual problems.
Oh, perpetual.
Perpetual problems, because those create the gridlock, right? Those are the conversations that we keep having. They're never going to go away. So it's things like chores, kids, like, you know, kids, honestly, just, they don't go away. So
what?
Yeah, I know, they don't go away. So you're going to constantly have things that you have to compromise on. Family, God, you know, in-laws are going to be consistently, not as an issue, but they can be in some relationships. And that's where you see a lot of the couples, not making it. What was the, the couple last season.
Barqueef.
Is that who it was? Him with the mom who like hated him? Oh. Yes. Oh my God. Nancy's mom was like drilling him.
Well, no. And good for her. But Bartice's parents really did not like her because she said that she was pro-abortion or pro-choice.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. I figured it out. Four couples that are still together. Of those.
So why you are so quiet.
Out of 24 left. So that's 25% success rate.
Mm-hmm. Go.
So Lauren and what's his face?
Cameron.
Alexa. You had him? Brennan,
Bart,
wait, who?
Alexa.
Alexa. The people we don't like, Matt and Colleen.
They don't count.
They don't count.
Lauren, Cameron, and Amber and Burnett.
You already said so Lauren and Cameron.
No, four though. I did probably say it twice, but there's four people.
I never liked Amber and Matt.
Two from season one, two from season three. No season twos.
There's no season twos.
Nope.
Okay.
Which one was season twos?
What was the couple that she had really short hair and he was on his video games? What was that couple?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. They got divorced.
They did.
Like a year later, right? It wasn't even that long. I think it was only like a year later.
Right after the reunion show, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's sad.
I don't know how you didn't expect that.
I liked them.
I liked her.
I didn't think he was that bad. Oh, he was the one that wanted to keep partying.
Yes, that's okay. Why. Okay, I don't think he was a terrible person. I think he was immature. He was not ready to be married.
Right.
He could have like a lot of really good characteristics. Because honestly, I think he listened really well to her. But he was not ready to be married.
No, I think he needed to be married to someone who also wanted to go out. But she was an introvert and she wanted to stay home.
Yeah, I can see that.
I feel like they had like, weren't they one of the ones where he wanted to pick somebody else at first too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Anyway, I could keep going forever.
Well, and I think because I love the show, but as far as an experiment, I mean, we're talking about way too many variables. And then when you like open up at the end and you're introducing like all the family and then they slowly start introducing like work back in. I mean, there's a reason that all of them have issues at that point. And it's because like in the beginning, you're falling in love with an idea. And when you come out into the real world, you can see that idea challenge. Because honestly, in my opinion, that's what love always is. It's a story that you've created about somebody. That's why you see so many people falling for terrible people. It's because they throw out all the bad shit because they're looking for something in particular. And that's what's feeding that narrative about that person. So that's the idea you have. Like, this is the person I've created. And over time, because there's too many bad things that get thrown in, that's where love often falls out, right? So it's the story the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's Love is Blind. The characters, the people on the show, they go into the real world and all of these ideas are challenged because all the triggers and everything that comes along with it.
Right.
But I love it still.
I
love the trash.
I cannot wait to finish part two today. I will be on my couch all day long.
It's only five episodes.
I don't care. I will finish that today because I'm
so excited.
I'm obsessed. I think it's so funny because DJ spent way longer than he should have washing dishes in the kitchen so he could also secretly watch Love is Blind. And then he went upstairs to his room and then he came back downstairs and sat on the couch and pretended to be on his phone while he was also watching Love is Blind.
So, okay. So could you guys do it? If you were single in a life that you could actually like leave for a bit, you didn't have to worry about work. Would you go on this show? Could you say yes to somebody that you have never seen before?
Nope. Too picky.
So here's so here's my stipulation. I think that I would be able to do something similar to this. However, I would not be able to be my authentic self when it's televised. There,
yeah.
I would be too worried.
You don't want to make out with somebody on the bed with the camera crew behind you?
No. I would be too insecure to... I would be too afraid to lose my career. I would be too afraid of what... Like... You saw what happened to Cole. Like, he was absolutely destroyed publicly. Like, people just, like, tear these...
They jumped on the train.
Yeah, they tear the cast members down. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to handle, like, the public watching that. If this were to happen in, like, a private setting or, like, in a setting that wasn't televised where the whole... freaking world was watching you, then maybe.
But I honestly don't think it's bad that we include what somebody looks like into an equation of attraction, right? Because attraction is largely based off of, like, or initial chemistry is largely based off of, like, how they present. And how they present is going to involve personality and what they look like. So I think if you're only looking for, like, a certain body type, then that's, you're not necessarily looking for love. You're looking for somebody who, like, I don't know, somebody to show off. It's like you're looking for a shirt that you like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a relationship.
I will say, I don't think it necessarily matters so much what they look like if they, especially on this show, they're all conventionally attractive. But there are certain people where I'm just like, I could not see myself with someone of this, whatever it is. Like the Property Brothers guy. I couldn't do it. I can't look at him and not see a Property Brother.
Mm-hmm.
So like... that way through and be like, I love this man, but all I see is the Property Brothers. That would be an issue for me that I wouldn't be able to
right. get him. Well, there's characteristics. Like for me, it would be height. Like I wouldn't want a guy that's like terribly shorter than me.
Yeah.
Which I do think is, I mentioned that to you guys and I'm going to say it again here. I think it's incredibly interesting that they have women of different body sizes, but somehow and body heights and stuff. Somehow every single one of the men is taller than whoever they end up with. And I would be interested to see if that doesn't happen. Right. Because, like, again, these are conventionally what we would say are attractive people on this show. I will say I think they did a bigger job of including women with a variety of body shapes on this season that actually made it through.
Because
some of these women actually have butts and hips and stuff, which we haven't really seen much of. But
they're okay. But they're all still, like, size 10 and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
At least.
Mm-hmm. It is still better than it's been the last three seasons where I couldn't –
But see, is that the show or are people of a certain size more inclined to apply?
Yeah.
Ooh, some nice assumptions there, right? Like we're assuming that the show is picking them.
Right. Like,
but
are people just too,
the population.
Are people too self-conscious to apply?
That would be the first thing I would think of. Like if I'm going to go on there and I'm talking to somebody, I'm going to be thinking, because I'm always self-conscious about my height with men throughout the years. I would assume like, okay, what if they're not tall? Like, are they going to like how tall I am?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, I don't know that I would apply just to get turned down at the first time. Like, can you imagine getting turned down when they see you, Irina?
Yeah, that was,
that's what happened. She didn't like him.
So awkward.
Right. And they're, afterwards, but they're like, I hate you. I wasn't attracted to you from the get-go. I'm going to steal the other girl's guy. Like, that was all very strange.
She looked at him and said, you look like a cartoon character.
Okay, but she is also, like, absolute terrible. Worst. Like,
she's a wall. She's a blank wall.
She's the worst. She doesn't have a personality. She just adopts everybody else's.
Yeah, neither one of them are very good people, it seems like. I definitely find it very interesting. Like we talked about on our group chat as well, the women's perception of Zach seems like a big red flag. Like all of them separately saying like,
yeah, he
creeps out. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I don't see that come through on the show too much, except for, I think Kayla, you really said it best when you said like, he's trying too hard to make it romantic. And I think I can see that, but I don't necessarily see things that he's creepy. So I don't know if that's like a mentality that they all like kind of grouped up on, or if there are things that they did not show.
I think it's they're watching his interactions with Irina, and Irina is not into it. So they're probably watching him try too hard. And the try too hard is what would creep me out. Like if you see that I am backing away from you every time you try to kiss me, stop trying to kiss me. Like stop.
You should get into part two.
I am.
Okay. First of all, there's a conversation. I won't ruin it for you, Kinsey, because I know you haven't gotten there yet. I don't know, Kayla, you might not have either. But Micah and Irina have a conversation.
I just watched
and
it last night.
I hate how it goes because I feel like Micah's like shoving responsibility off of herself. But also, Zach and, you know, a person get a certain chance. And honestly, I feel like it's very similar to how he was with Irina, but she might dig it more. So I don't know. I don't know that it was necessarily wrong that they said he's creepy. I think he's just a very intense person, and that might be misinterpreted, or maybe just might be uncomfortable for the person if they're not in that same level.
Yeah, I think intense is a good word.
There have been very few times where I've heard a woman describe a guy as creepy that I have not seen that as well. So maybe
I think that's a very careful word to use. I feel like that word, when people use it, like that's a label, because I've heard a man talk about it, like that they're scared of being called creepy. And honestly, like think about what's usually involved in that. It's because they're not attractive. Mm. Like an attractive man can do the same exact thing and they're not called creepy, but that's a whole nother story.
No, that's our whole issue with what's her face, right? The blonde.
Micah?
She's pretty. So,
which one?
Yeah. Micah gets to do whatever she wants.
Yeah. She's pretty privileged.
She sure does. Yeah. And she gets away with it every time.
Oh my God. She makes me sick. I hate her. So yeah. So there's the science behind Love is Blind. There's a lot more that we could go into. Like there's even like the whole love at first sight thing. I wish we're going to have like a multi-part series on Love is Blind.
I am so down. I love talking about
this. So many people are not.
I don't care.
Poor Kevin, when he listens to this episode, he already has to listen to it and he doesn't want to, but yet. Here we go. All right. So what's our favorite couple so far? Name them out.
I'm blanking. Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
my favorite is Brett and Tiffany.
Brett and Tiffany, for sure.
Kinsey, where are you at? You didn't love them as much as us.
No, I see it. I just don't. I feel like I find Tiffany a little boring and odd, so she's not my favorite, but I do love Brett. I think my favorite is none of them, but my favorite character is Kwame, because I find him unable to read, and I find him hella interesting because he is all over the place.
He is. But, you know, honestly, I think that's a really good read on Tiffany, because the more I watch her, she is odd. I feel like she's the nerdy geek that was always underappreciated by friends and by boyfriends. And she always got like left out. Like, I feel like she's that character, but like has the sweetest soul. I hope she doesn't prove me wrong, but that's who I see in Tiffany.
I don't see her like that. I see her as just.
Give it time. Have you seen her cook?
No.
Oh God.
Give her to that point, because you see that quirkiness come out a little bit during that part.
Okay.
No, she's fine. She's just not like my cup of tea. And I feel like she's like, very, 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 very impressed with Brett. And he's just kind of like, you don't have to swoon over me like this. I really like Brett, though. I think he's a really genuine guy.
He's really cool.
He seems to be.
I love him.
I think he's probably the pick of the season. Like, he was the top draft pick right there.
Absolutely.
He's a good kid. And I think the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that she called him is number two. What's his name?
Marshall. Oh, God. I don't see that either, by the way. I don't see Will Smith.
No.
Why she?
His head's just the same shape.
Not even.
I don't.
Just on top. It's the same hair.
Barely.
But my favorite is how Zach and Kyle?
Irina?
No. Zach and
Paul and Micah.
Zach and Paul think they look alike. I love that. Oh, they don't look alike.
They don't look at all.
They both have dark hair and they're white. So, yes, so that is our take on Love is Blind. We're for sure going to be talking about this for the next few weeks. This is not the end to our listeners. If you hate Love is Blind, we do not apologize. You can just skip to about, I don't know what, episode 30. By then we'll be done with it. So let's see. So we are trying to get our TikTok followers up. So please go on TikTok and follow, because I'm so damn tired of Kinsey updating us on it. And I'd rather just go ahead and hit 1,000, because then we can go live. And that's going to be exciting, because then we can't even edit ourselves and we're all going to lose our license and get fired and harassed and get hate mail.
It'll be so
but
fun.
But until then, we hope stay mental.
Oh, I was going to say, we're so close to 1,000 with that, not that whole 51 followers. We're really getting there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we only have 1,000 more to go. So, listeners, stay mental.
Stay Mormon.
See you Tuesday.